Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Business Weekly. Bring you the latest business, economic and financial news from around the country and tell you how they affect you. Business Weekly. Features inspiring Sassanese entrepreneurs. Every Monday morning from 9:15 to 10 a.m. Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Only on Radio Miraya.
This is Business Weekly.
Welcome to the Business Weekly, where we talk business and do business. This program brings you the latest on business and entrepreneurship across the country. My name is Helen Toby. Well, the first East African Youth Innovative Forum took place in Kampala, Uganda, between the 8th and the 10th of this month. The forum brought together young innovators from the region to discuss facts and trends in innovation and product development. Six innovators, including South Sudanese youth, were awarded during the event. So today we are joined by one of the participants, Gak Malek, the founder of the BTech, an incubation and acceleration firm that focuses on building startups and small and medium enterprises in South Sudan. We will discuss how South Sudanese can benefit from some of the resolutions of the forum, which include ease of business in the region. You can also share your views and comments later on in the show by dialing 0929686297 or sending us an SMS on 0912177141. But first, let's look at some of the business stories over the week. United States Agency for International Development has allocated $43 million towards youth empowerment in South Sudan. The release of the funds was announced by the U.S. Embassy in Juba last Wednesday. In a statement, the U.S. Embassy said the program will benefit 25,000 skilled and unskilled youth through a youth cause service model. The model will recruit 500 youth leaders across South Sudan and train them as mentors for marginalized youth with supportive activities that expand their access to learning, job training, civic engagement, reproductive health, and social and community cohesion. The government, in collaboration with the United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, and other developmental partners, have signed the United Nations Sustainable Development Cooperation Framework for the 2023-2024 period. The five-year plan will, among others, support governance, agriculture, youth and women empowerment, and economic revitalization. It was developed with financial support from 21 UN agencies. Over the weekend, a commercial vehicle was attacked at Jebel Mulak along the Juba to Rich Road. One person was killed and three people injured in the incident. Police say two suspects linked to the ambush have been arrested and are currently in custody in Juba. Meanwhile, the injured are receiving treatment at the Juba Military Hospital. Police are now cautioning people, including traders, to seek security escort while traveling on the roads during the festive season, as crimes will be on the increase. Moving to Upper Nile State, authorities in Reng are reporting a drop in the prices of sorghum. A 50-kilogram bag of dura has gone down from 50,000 to 25,000 SSP. Reng County Commissioner say the drop in prices follows a bumper harvest of cereal crops this year, creating surplus in the market. And finally, we look at the money market. The Central Bank of South Sudan has stabilized the exchange rates of the US dollars against the South Sudanese pounds in the last few weeks. The rate has been ranging from 620 and 630 pounds per dollar. As of today, the dollar is selling at 630 and buying at 621 per $1. Meanwhile, the black market has also maintained similar rates in the last few weeks. And those were some of the business news stories of the week.
أنتم تستمعون إلى راديو ميرايا صوت السلام.
Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Business Weekly. Bring you the latest business, economic and financial news from around the country and tell you how they affect you. Business Weekly features inspiring South Sudanese entrepreneurs every Monday morning from 9:15 to 10 a.m. Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Only on Radio Miraya.
This is Business Weekly.
Well, as I earlier told you that we are joined by Gak Malik, the founder of the Big Tech, to highlight more on the recently held East African Youth Initiative Forum, which took place in Kampala, Uganda. The forum brought together young innovators from the region to discuss facts and trends in innovation and product development. Six innovators, including South Sudanese, were awarded during the event. Gak Malik, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me as well.
Can you tell us more about the East African Innovative Forum?
Well, as you said before, this is a forum that took place in Kampala, that is on 8th, 9th and 10th. It was also accompanied by presidential award, whereby six innovators were recognized in the region. And we happen to have our sister, that is the MD of Gogo Play, that is Akim, who managed to win also. She won $5,000 to encourage her to continue the innovation in the region and join the rest. Otherwise, within the forum, we also discussed a lot of issues that are affecting trade in the region and how trade can prosper among the young people, including exemption of startups, especially newly registered companies, whereby we had Rwandese sharing the experience that they always go 3 years tax exemption to all the newly registered companies. Registration of companies in Rwanda is very easy. It takes 1 day to have all your legal documents, and also you exempted from taxes. That is for the government to encourage you to grow and have those business muscles. And through those experience sharing, we saw that it was also good for such a policy to be adopted in all the ESC regions, such that at least youth of ESC countries can grow together and prosper, rather than just having few countries doing well in SMEs, in businesses. That is right now Rwanda, Kenya and Uganda are really doing well in trade, and they're encouraging the youth to venture into innovation. The innovations are funded. There is also innovation hubs in those countries, business hubs. Uganda itself has 10. I was surprised of that, but unfortunately South Sudan we have zero. There's not any business happening in the country, of which SBTech, I saw that opportunity, and we took a challenge upon ourselves to establish the first business hub in the country next year, coming 2023, and the plan is already in place. This is also good news, and it's out of experience that I got from that forum, because I really saw a need of having hub to incubate startups, see how they grow, see how they enter the market, and until the growth stage, because private sector is the way forward.
Okay, now you say that one South Sudanese was awarded during the event. How many South Sudanese participants were there, and how many people were awarded?
Well, in terms of awarding, Isteco had advertised these awards, and innovators were able to apply all over the region. In South Sudan, we got 13 applications. Mm-hmm. That is 13 innovations, and I happened to be among the panel and the judges that was sorting out the applications. Mm-hmm. And Gogo Play stood out. It's the best innovation idea from South Sudan, and that's why it was recommended from South Sudan as the winner. Otherwise, each country was having its own applicants, and those applicants were sorted by different panel, and then all the six innovators that were sent from each country were now sent to Uganda Innovation Forum for the awarding. This award is a presidential award, and unfortunately President Museveni was busy on that day, and he sent the vice president to give the awards. Mm-hmm. And these awards will continue next year. It will be annually and it will be rotational. It will be done maybe in different countries, probably maybe next year if South Sudan accept to host that event. Maybe to be the president Salva Kiir to award that innovation forum. Mm-hmm. So it's a regional program that will be happening annually to ensure that EAC innovators are encouraged and their businesses ideas are also put in place. I saw even Ugandans planning to have their first rocket sent in the space. So mm-hmm. a lot of things are going on in the region, and I'm glad I was part of these discussions and this engagement.
Okay, you were there and you saw how some of the countries presented their ideas during the forum. Can you tell us what South Sudan presented during the forum, and were we really up to the level?
Well, I must tell you right now, the region at large is recognizing the fact that South Sudan is producing a lot of competent youth. Mm-hmm. that are going to the region and they're doing wonderful things. The ideas that were presented on that day, we had these pitches that is from South Sudan. We only had Gogo Play, and personally, I moderated a session that was on crop production in EAC. And then we also had other participants like the Undersecretary of the Ministry of EAC Affairs from South Sudan. He was there with us. We also had representatives from UNDP. They were available in the forums. So South Sudan in general, it was well represented because mm-hmm. all the young people that were available, they were able to showcase what we have as the country. I was able also to coach some of the EAC members on pitching, because pitching is another tricky thing that also needs some coachings, because you might have a brilliant idea, but if you don't know how to present it to an innovator or an investor mm-hmm. or a donor, it might not go through, but in real sense you have a brilliant idea. So I was able to take through all the EAC finalists into pitching how they're supposed to prepare their pitch deck, what to have in the first slide, how to handle the stage. For example, let me just give you this example. If you were to come to the stage and present your business idea, first thing, the first slide should have your logo of your company, mm-hmm. and you start your pitching with either a question or a story. That is a statement that will attract the attention of all the audience. If my data is on, I should put it off and open my ears to listen to you. But if you come to the stage and just start with a boring story, trust me, you're going to lose your audience. So mm-hmm. for that reason, we're able to guide them on how to handle stage and how to be within time, because it was only 5 minutes. You must tell us all that you have within 5 minutes. Most of the investors decide to either support your business in the first 30 seconds. So as you're coming to the stage and you don't attract the attention in the first 30 seconds, mm-hmm. they will just wait for you to finish, and once your time is over, they clap their hands and you go. Mm-hmm. So we do really encourage all the businesses and even people outside there, if you're going to an investor, make sure you take advantage of the first 30 seconds. Okay. Every word should be direct to the point.
Okay. Now, from what you've just said, South Sudanese youth are really doing good out there. So what do you think should be done to empower more youth to be innovative in the country?
One thing, create conducive environment for businesses. Mm-hmm. That is that's my message to the government. Second thing, to the development partners, make sure you fund their innovations, because employing people who are not innovators to handle funds of innovation, I think it is a mismatch of some of development partners, because there are a lot of development partners in the country that should really support the innovators. Another thing I would really love to highlight, the issues of Youth Enterprise Development Fund.
Mm-hmm.
We have been hearing a lot of nice messages, speeches, starting from the office of the Vice President of Youth and Gender Cluster, that's Mama Rebecca, going to the Minister of Youth themselves, Dr. Albino, UNDP themselves. Most of these institutions and these people have been talking about Youth Enterprise Development Fund, which is allocated in the peace agreement all the way from 2018. Why is that money not going to the youth?
Mm-hmm.
In the country, we have all these offices. The presidency is there. Ministry of Youth is there. Youth who need this money are there. And the money itself is already in the country. So what is preventing this money from reaching to the right people? Yet a lot of businesses needs to be done and a lot of innovations are remaining unfunded. So it's really the right time to fasten this process and ensure that the right people get the end product.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you fund their businesses, because youth can do wonder. This is 21st century is an entrepreneurial era. And if you fund a lot of innovation, even development itself, it peaks.
Okay. Well, you're listening to the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya, where we talk business and do business. And today we are discussing how South Sudanese can benefit from what was discussed during the East African Youth Innovative Forum, which took place in Kampala, Uganda, between the 8th and the 10th of this month. And we are joined by Gak Malek, the founder of the BeatTech, who is talking to us more about this initiative.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
This is Business Weekly.
Well, this is the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya, and we are talking about the East African Youth Innovative Forum that took place in Uganda, Kampala. And our guest is Gak Malek, who has been explaining to us exactly what took place. Now, Gak, looking at the conference resolutions, the youth are looking forward to several ways of easing business in the region. One of the resolutions that caught my eye was the implementation of the Free for Youth, which is an initiative across, the Free Youth Initiative across the region, which was drawn from Rwanda's youth incentives for startups. Can you tell us more about this, and how can this be implemented in South Sudan?
As I said before, free products or exemption of taxes to the SMEs is something that has worked in Rwanda, and it's good to withdraw the experience. In Rwanda, the SMEs that are registered, at first they go for 3 years without being taxed. That is by the government. They're given tax holiday. In Kenya, it is 2 years. And right now in South Sudan, the moment you register your business or your company, mm-hmm. taxes begin immediately. You might even be surprised that you register today, you open your shop today, and all of a sudden, city council are there to ask you for service fee and amount of shinu.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things that are challenging and really discouraging a lot of SMEs that are venturing into this private sector, because we want to encourage people to leave these issues of just only seeking jobs. Government cannot employ all of us.
You're right.
UN cannot employ all of us or development partners, but private sector can take all of us. So it's the right time for us to create a conducive environment in private sector to ensure that SMEs are grown, innovations are encouraged. Some of other resolutions were to have a stamp approval of ESC.
Mm-hmm.
That is, all the products within ESC countries should have made in East Africa. Say that we buy East Africa, we produce East African products, and we sell East African products within and outside the region.
Mm-hmm.
This is to ensure that we first of all, to have one standard, say that anything that has met standard in South Sudan should have the same standard in Kenya, the same standard in Rwanda, the same standard in Uganda. Say that we should not have something approved in Uganda or given a certificate in Uganda, and then if it comes to South Sudan, doesn't meet that standard. Mm-hmm. We want to consume goods and services that have met the right standard. So East Africa wants to come up with that one thing. But as we're going to the region to push for all these agendas, I've been saying always, these things need a lot of homework back home. Mm-hmm. Because other countries, trust you me, there is a certain selfish interest of selling their products. As much as they're saying East African products, what are we selling in South Sudan?
Yeah, what are we selling? What products do we have?
What products are we taking mm-hmm. to the region? And we cannot also block ourselves from the region that, oh, we want to be an island country. No, we are part of this world. So it's time to game up, and it's time to encourage our SMEs to venture and also innovators, and ensure that beside oil, we also take other products and services to the region, to the world, and we are able also to compete, because right now, currently, South Sudanese cannot even compete business-wise in their own country. Mm-hmm. That is in South Sudan, completely, in terms of all the sectors. If you look at it, South Sudanese are very few, and we are not competitive. We cannot say, oh, foreigners have taken businesses, they have done this. No, business is somewhere that you have to get in, convince customers, create value, say that you can be able to outcompete your competitors. Mm-hmm. But if you're not able to outcompete your competitors, and then you want people to come and buy your products or services in the name of just being a South Sudanese, when the services are better on the other side, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. So what can we do about this? How can South Sudanese be able to compete with other region people in the region?
One thing, let's get our hands dirty and get into business. And another thing, we should be able to accept the fact that business is not an easy thing. You will at certain time get losses, at certain times you'll get profit, at certain times get something that you never even expected, being inflation, being political crisis, or whichever. All these things are things that are facing us. So we should also, I also encourage youth to also go online and do research about business, watch those videos on YouTube, learn a lot of things in business, how businesses can thrive and prosper. We as BTEC, we are doing our side to train people on business entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. but that's not enough. That is just a drop in an ocean.
Mm-hmm. We need more organizations, and even the government itself.
The government needs to come on board. Mm-hmm. Development partners needs to integrate economic empowerment into the activities, like those organizations that are focusing on GBV, for example. Ask yourself, why are women abused in their marriages or in their families? Mm-hmm. Most of these abuses go back to economical vulnerability. For example, you as Helen, if you are economically vulnerable and you depend on your husband to feed you, to also take your children to hospital for medication and everything, if that man abuses you, you will think twice before you even report that man. You will even think twice before you walk out of that marriage. But if you're stable, you're employed, you have your business and you have your money, there's some things you will say no to. Mm-hmm. Because anyone who feeds you will be your master, and there's some things you can oppose. So let's integrate economical empowerment into most of our programming, and ensure that youth and women are economically empowered to stand on their own, to make their own decisions, and they will automatically relate those things into development of the country. Because as a nation, it is not a one man thing or one woman thing to make it. Salva Kiir alone cannot do it. Mm-hmm. I alone cannot do it. Mention all the politicians, them alone, they cannot do anything, or even one ministry cannot do it. It's a collective responsibility that we have all to get in and do what we can, especially creating conducive environment for businesses to thrive mm-hmm. and prosper. We do not have power. What is happening with Fula Dam? Why can it be started? Why can we have our own power to ensure that businesses are also getting power? Industries cannot mm-hmm. come when power is not reliable. So it's just a whole thing. Infrastructures, if you want to transport things, Yambi is producing a lot of food, that is Western Equatoria, but things cannot come to Juba because of bad roads. It's me as GAG, I cannot do it. As BTEC, I cannot construct roads. That's the work of government.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't force the government to do it. The
right.
government have to see the need of it and also construct those roads. So that at least businesses prosper and thrive within South Sudan and we're able to compete in our own country and in the region, because it's a shame sometimes to go on those forums and stages whereby you know at the back of your mind you are not bringing anything on table.
Mm-hmm.
You are just saying things, you are talking for the sake of talking, but back home nothing is happening.
Yeah, I can imagine all that. Now, from this thing that you have explained, the Free for Youth initiative across the country and your and how you think this can be implemented in South Sudan, we also understand that the forum is calling for implementation of trade agreement in the region that foster cross trade, cross-border trade to provide youth innovators access to an already present consumer market in the region. How is this supposed to be done, and how will it be of any significance to South Sudan?
Well, there are a lot of policies that are in place that is in EAC to ease trade among the member states.
Mm-hmm.
And not only EAC, all the other blocs that are existing in Africa have come together in what we call African Continental Free Trade Area, that's AFCTA, whereby there are tariffs that are there to be removed, and there should be free movement of goods, people, services, and products. So as the EC, we want things to move from Kenya, coming to Uganda, coming to South Sudan, leaving South Sudan, going to Congo without really a lot of blockages on road. And this one will make products cheap. It will make EAC countries have easy way of trading among itself, because as we know, all these borders were created in Berlin by the whites or Western countries when non-African was there. So they are just imaginary borders. By the end of the day, we are one people. If you look at Acholi, they are in Uganda, they are also in South Sudan. You talk of Madi, they are in Uganda, they are also in South Sudan. You talk of our border with Ethiopia, they are also nowhere in Ethiopia, they are also nowhere in South Sudan. So we are literally one people, but divided by political interested people. In old days, that yes, we can deny that we have borders, but those borders should not really divide us that much, but it should make our work relation mm-hmm. easy. So it was really very critical that the agreements are signed, but if you come to ground, implementation is not as expected. For example, when I was traveling, I was going on road from here to Uganda. One of South Sudanese ladies was carrying bed sheets that are for home use, 18 of them. Do you know, reaching the border, those bed sheets that were in the Sofia bags were removed by Uganda Revenue Authority from the bus
mm-hmm.
that she asked to pay taxes for these items to be released and permitted to enter Uganda. I asked them, why should she pay taxes, yet these things are not for business? Which market is she going to sell them? These are for home use. And as Ugandans, they must be aware that most of South Sudanese likes having a lot of bedsheets, especially mm-hmm. the ones that are beautified using handmade and needles. So, unfortunately, the bedsheets had to remain in the border. The bus even had to leave us. We took another bus going there because these things couldn't be allowed to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it's the same Uganda and South Sudan that have signed these beautiful documents of easing trade among itself. But going to the border, it doesn't really apply. I was annoyed to an extent that I told them, guys, back home we do not treat Ugandans like this.
Mm-hmm.
Ugandans feel at home in South Sudan and we see them as our brothers and our sisters. They're doing business. South Sudanese, we are coming to Uganda to spend money, not even to make money. Ugandans are coming to South Sudan to make money and take money back to Uganda. So it's something that we should both treat ourselves easily and at ease.
So what do you think governments can do to ensure that there is no border disruption when people are traveling across the borders in the East African region?
As we have been seeing a lot of bilateral discussions among these two sisterly countries, it's good, all the beautiful things that they say and document, it's good to implement them on ground. Secondly, as government of South Sudan, my message to them is, as we're opening our hands and our arms to our sisterly countries, let's also ask ourselves, what are we delivering? What are we bringing on table? As you're saying, there should be free movement of goods within East Africa. What goods of ours are moving?
Mm-hmm.
If there are no goods, how will our goods move? How will we produce? How will we ensure that we feed ourselves? Say that we do not only rely on the region and expect to be fed by Kenya. You see, you saw the roads that Kenyans constructed to connect the border at Nadapal, mm-hmm. all the way. They are planning also to bring it to Juba. The main intention or the hidden agenda is to ensure that their goods and products reach South Sudan and reach Juba easily, so that they can be able to compete with Ugandans that are supplying their goods easily to South Sudan. That is their interest. So as they're saying, we want to trade as a region, behind their mind, they know they want their goods and services to reach other parts of the region.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a South Sudanese, as we are saying we want to trade with the region, what are we bringing on board?
Mm-hmm.
It's completely nothing. Yet our land is more fertile than these countries. We can produce good food. South Sudan is a place where fish is dying here of old age because nobody is fishing it. How are we going to take that fish to the region?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of frustrating our own fishermen that wants to bring that fish even to Juba here, how many taxations are they getting on road? Personally, I've ever brought fish from South region to Juba. But there are a lot of places along the Nile that you have to stop, pay. So before you reach Juba, there are a lot of expenses that you have incurred on the way. So how are we going to ease that thing? Say that we don't only look at supplying Juba. We should look at supplying the entire region,
country.
even the entire Africa,
mm-hmm.
or continent.
And even beyond.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at encouraging our own people, and even to all South Sudanese. If you have some money in the bank, please do small business. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just keep your money, because money is a currency. It flows. If you just keep it in the bank and you spend it, trust me, it doesn't matter how much you have. One day it will end.
Right.
And if it ends, you will the next generation will have to start its own thing. Look at the Somalis, look at Indians.
Mm-hmm. How they're doing businesses.
They have wealth transfer from one generation to another. In South Sudan, trust me, most of people's income that I've seen as GAC, their children will not have that wealth, because people are just depending on getting money, spending it. You wait for the next money, you spend it.
So that there is a lot that need to be done in this country.
Let's get into businesses as government. Let's not frustrate business communities, especially South Sudanese. Let's create conducive environment for them to prosper,
mm-hmm.
be able to compete, and as soon as they are competitive within the country, they can compete at the regional level and at continental level.
Okay. Well, you're listening to the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya, and we are talking about the East African Youth Initiative Forum, which took place in Kampala, Uganda earlier this month. And our guest is Gak Malek, the founder of BTEC, who was one of the participants, and he was sharing with us how South Sudanese can benefit from the initiative of the East African Youth Innovative Forum. Well, this is the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya, and we are talking about the East African Youth Initiative Forum that took place in Uganda, Kampala. And I'm joined by Gak Malek. You can share with us your questions or your comments on 09-2968-6297 or send us an SMS on 09-12-177-7141. Let me read some of the text messages that are coming in. There is one who's saying, my question is, if there is money relocated to South Sudanese youth in South Sudan, is there a way this money can be given to those organizations which are supporting the youth? That is Tapmark in Bentiu. Can you respond to his question?
Well, as I said before, it is a portion of the peace agreement that was provided. That is Youth Enterprise Development Fund, and this funding that is supposed to fund youth businesses and startups. And up to now, we haven't seen any implementation, and that's why, as I'm here on air, I'm not here as someone who is coming from the government or someone who is having that money to give. It's a kind of advocacy, because I know that portion is given, and I'm also requesting or asking our government and development partners to follow up that money and ensure that it goes to the youth. So once it is given, this is where youth can benefit, or even organizations like yours, depending on criteria that will be set by the Ministry of Youth or the Office of the Vice President of Gender and Youth Cluster. So it's something that personally I do not have control over it, mm-hmm. but it is a portion that I know it is there, and that money should be given to youth. Me and you, we are doing advocacy. People will act on this at the government.
Okay. Well, Tap Mark from Benty, we hope your question has been answered there. We're going to pick 97 and ask us your question, or you can give us a comment on how South Sudanese can benefit from the East African Youth Innovative Forum. Let's pick another caller. Hello, Radio Mira.
Yes, sir.
Yes, so what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is called JKJK from Rock City here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, thank you for this program. I'm very happy and I'm staying with my brother who are there, and you also.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are South Sudanese. If there is something we are needing, we cannot able to do. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, like you were saying that there is South Sudanese everywhere, like in Uganda, yeah, Soli, and there is in Nani also, there's Nuer also. It's like that because we cannot to control ourselves and to doing what we are lying to do in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like here in South Sudan, yeah, those who are here who are do business here, South Sudan, they are few, but they will not very many there. And also in our side of our government, I have to say that I don't know. Oh, our government, you already telling us away, because now those people who are there, South Sudanese, no one can like them. Even mm-hmm. in Uganda, in Kenya, and some others, Congo, I'm ready to move with those places.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there is no respect. No one can respect them. But for us here, we are already paying attention with them. And also, we are knowing that those who are here is our brothers and also is our sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Because in one country, you cannot able to live in alone.
Okay.
We continue to do right in our country, and also to do the business, and mm-hmm. also we have to know which good in our life we are going to do, and then we continue to do it development in our country in South Sudan here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That is JKJK from Rock City, who was giving us his experience and the difficulties we usually face while doing business in South Sudan. You can call us on 0929686297 or send us a text message on 0912177141. Let's pick another caller. Hello, Radio Mirai.
Hello?
Yes, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, you are talking with Matthew Makwai from Marat.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Matthew, for joining us.
Yeah. So, I have a question from this topic you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last month, I was making a business with one of the Ugandans here in Konyo Konyo.
Mm-hmm.
By then, he was brought something from his country. And then after our business is being going well, at all, he went away with my salary. Now, from there, we South Sudanese, they came and they hit us. We don't know how we can make our business while if we go through, it is very difficult there to go to their country, and because the price is very high.
Okay.
So I want to ask.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Matthew Makwach from Amarat. He's talking about how businessmen get cheated in the country and how this can be done.
Mr. Matthew Makwachi, what I can tell you, scamming is something that happens in most of the cities, not only in South Sudan or only in Juba. Neither is it happening because that person was from Uganda. It's not practiced by any specific country.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a problem that you have to protect yourself as a business person, as a citizen, from scammers. Make sure you deal with reliable institution or reliable business owners. That's why business are registered, so that in case of anything, you can follow up of where you have put in your investment or your money. So it's a personal responsibility to protect yourself from scammers. I cannot accuse any specific country of scamming or any individual being scammed because he or she was doing this thing. It's you as an individual to make sure that you deal with reliable people, you deal with legally registered people, that you know the offices, you know where they are doing their businesses, and from there your business will be safe. It's a problem that is happening globally, not only in South Sudan, not only in the region, but worldwide, even in Europe, even in US, people are scammed. Scammers mm-hmm. are there, even online. Make sure you are very careful with whom you're dealing with to protect yourself from such people.
Okay, I hope his question has been answered there. Well, Gak, thank you for joining us today on the Business Weekly program. What is your last message in just 1 minute?
One thing, region is really growing. A lot of things are going on in other parts of the world. And we as youth should get off from playing dumnas, from playing cards, from drug abuse, just partying after partying. It's time to get back into business, do what we can, because this is the only energetic age group whereby we can do anything we can that needs energy, anything that needs thinking, we can be able to do it. Secondly, it's my message will go to the government to also ensure that it provide conducive environment for businesses to thrive and prosper. Otherwise, we are going to be conquered economically, because having a territory independency without economical independency is not totally independency.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to encourage our own young people to prosper. As elders who have money, please invest, start a business, open up companies, open up manufacturers, employ people,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only way forward. Lastly, on our side as BTEC, next year, as I said before, we are planning to have the first business hub in the country. It's something that we're excited, and we would also urge the development partners, the government, to support us in this. We do not have land to do that.
Okay.
We do not have resources to do that. We have the idea.
Okay.
So let's get together, put hands together, and ensure that we have the business hub to incubate SMEs that shall be growing and prosper to compete with other region.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Gak Malek, for joining us today on the Business Weekly, where we discussed about the East African Youth Initiative Forum that took place in Kampala, Uganda. My name is Helen Toby. Until next time, goodbye.